Welcome to March's live Q&A. And I want to kick off with some beginner guitar key news, like I normally do, things that have come up, which you may well have seen in the community, you may well have seen in emails, but just to highlight them just in case you haven't. So I suppose one of the big things was I launched the annual membership last month, I think it was. So up to this point, we've only had a monthly membership, so $39 a month. But one of the biggest requests I've had has been to do an annual membership. So I thought it was about the time we did it. Now the annual membership, so you basically get 12 months of access just for the price of nine. So it works out $29 a month rather than 39. And it saves you $119 over a year. So it's quite a saving. And really the goal of beginner guitar career is not just, you know, a course or something you go through very quickly. It's the idea is an online guitar school. So I have students at my offline guitar school that I've had now for... I was trying to think of my longest student, maybe 7 or 8 years. So gives you an idea, you know, I expect someone to be a beginning guitar key for a couple of years minimum. Allegra has just finished level five, and she started 2 years ago, but she moved very quickly. She moved very fast. So normally I think for someone to get through all the levels, probably 3, 4 could be longer. Again, depending, she's just gone through the levels. She didn't do much of the other stuff. She was very focused on the levels and kind of worked diligently on that to get through it. So, yes. So, there's the annual membership. Now, to upgrade to the annual membership, all you need to do... I'm going to share my screen. This won't be exactly how you'll see it, and I'll show you why in just a second. So, if you want to upgrade to the annual membership, you go to my account at top here. You'll then see the option for subscriptions. And then you'll see your current subscription at the end here. Will be the option to upgrade. You click that button, it'll basically come up saying to upgrade. Mine doesn't have that because I've got its lifetime membership, obviously, so I'm not paying monthly, but you will see that at the end there. And that is how you do it if you want to upgrade. So big saving if you plan on obviously sticking around, then obviously that'd be a great thing to do. And I'll be bringing in other little things, exclusive perks for annual members and stuff as well. But at the minute, that's how you obviously upgrade. So that is there for you now. What else on my list? I was going to talk quickly about the member only podcast. So I had a few questions about that this week. So I have released it now. I released the podcast on Friday that said that I had already released the member only podcast. So I think Lee wrote in the community asking why he didn't have access to it. It's because I hadn't actually released it at that point. Because quite often I'll say in the podcast things I'm going to do maybe in the next day or so. Just get the podcast out quickly on the Friday. And I think I released it that evening. So I was a few hours behind where I should have been. So to find the member podcast, you see it here just on the dashboard. And you click on Access Now, Member Podcast. And you always see at the top here the most recent episode. So you can see there the February survey results. So I run a February survey to the members, just asking how they're finding beginner guitar academy, what could make their experience better, what's making it frustrating, so any things that need to be fixed, all that kind of stuff. And in that episode, I go through all basically the findings of that. What we're going to do about that, so some changes you'll see and some additions that are going to come up in the next kind of weeks, months, even years, some more long-term sort of projects. So if you're interested, go and check that out. If you haven't got access to the member podcast, because you can... just get the link that you put into your Apple Podcast app and it'll just download this straight into it. Email me, let me know, info@beginnerguitaracademy.com or drop me a message through the community because it is an individual link. As a member, you get that individual link. When you leave Beginner Guitar Academy, that link then gets cancelled. So obviously you have no access to it anymore. You should get that link emailed to you when you join, but there have been a few problems. I had... something that people do with online memberships and online things is test out credit cards for fraud. And I had, to give you an idea, in a space of about, I think it was about 2 or 3 hours, I had like 100 fake signups for people testing micropayments, because only a dollar, on these credit cards to see obviously if they pay out and then obviously they go and charge more. Which then meant it fired off thinking it was an actual sign up, access to the podcast. So it just got a bit messy, so I had to pause it. So if someone subscribed over that time period, they wouldn't have got that email coming out because I had to stop it because it just went a bit crazy. That hasn't happened this week. So it happened about a year ago. Oh, just an annoying thing of being online. But anyway, that's how you check out the member podcast. If you haven't got access to it, let me know and I'll sort that out for you. So that's kind of the main things I wanted to talk about in regard to the website. Again, go and check out the February server results. You'll get an idea of what is coming up kind of in the next weeks and months. There's some big things happening, but definitely go and check that out if you're interested in that. Right. Should we dive into some questions? Again, if you guys got any questions at Live on the Call, drop them in the chat box. I'll have that open. And let's get rocking. So I've got a few pre-submitted ones. So let's go through that. Okay, let's dive in. And the first question I had submitted was Nicholas's question. And he said, is learning the pinky finger of the fretting hand a definite? Is it a must to practice or not? He has tendonitis in his forearm for more than 5 months. His physiotherapist advised him to stop using the pinky if he could. What would be the likely pros and cons of doing that, basically? So what I'll say straight away is if a professional, like a physiotherapist or a doctor or something like that, is telling you not to do something, I'd probably go with that. I'm not a trained doctor. What I'm saying is technique focus, and you may have... Again, problems have students have arthritis, have students have carpal tunnel syndrome, things like that, where obviously we've got to look at that as something separate. So that's going to obviously impact the techniques I'm putting forward. You might not be able to do, and it might be worth changing it slightly. You might have to use different fingers, different combinations, just different ways of playing to get around that problem. And this is going to be a prime example of that. If a physiotherapist told you not to use that finger, then obviously don't use that finger. The reason you want to use the pinky, though, because it's a good option, a good reason for saying this. I said in a recent podcast episode as well about habits that, I can't remember the exact title, basically habits you want to do now to help yourself later. So if you don't get these habits ingrained, you know, a few years down the line, they're going to be very difficult to then get going, and you're going to find it's going to make your playing a lot harder to do because you haven't got those habits ingrained early on. This was one of them, trying to use all your fingers. So the benefit of using all your fingers is you have all the options. You have four fingers you can use, where a lot of people do leave out pinky and then only use three fingers. Now, this came up with one of my students because they couldn't then do a minor pentatonic lick. So if you know the minor pentatonic scale, well, let's play it here in the A. So my pinky goes nicely over fret 8. My first finger goes nicely over fret 5. So if I'm stretching out with my third finger to play fret 8, quite often, if you haven't got good sort of separation or flexibility, you'll find your first finger will move with it. And now my first finger is positioned above fret 6. So I'm out of the position. If I use my first and fourth finger, I'm remaining in that minor pentatonic pattern 1 box. So my first finger plays over fret 5. I don't move side to side. So that's the benefit of using multiple fingers. You can play positionally a lot better. Also, obviously, if we're down a finger, we are 75% of what we could be rather than 100%. So more fingers, just more options. So that's the benefit of using more fingers. It's going to allow you to play those kind of licks. And so this came up with a student who was playing a Metallica song, and he just couldn't do the phrase because he could not get that movement because it was minor pentatonic up in E. I can't remember the exact phrase, but I know he did like a little bluesy run in it. And his finger ended up there. He was trying to do it fast, put it down. He's on fret 13 rather than fret 12, because that's where his finger naturally fell. If he was using his pinky, though, his first finger then naturally falls over fret 12. Because he's using his third, everything's shifted up a fret. So that's the biggest benefit of using pinky finger. Again, if you are finding you're having troubles, skeletal or muscular issues, and you've been advised by a professional not to do that, then obviously go with the professional, is what I'd say. But try and use a pinky if you, you know, are happy to do so. Then yeah, it's definitely the best thing to do. Do not be put off just because it's difficult, because obviously a little finger is the weakest finger. It's going to take a little while to build up in strength. So yeah, take your time with it. Okay, so let's dive in. And next one I've got, Rob. I'm on class 21 of level 3, and the picking exercises, where I'm supposed to keep my finger spread and hovering over the fretboard is really hard. But not because of the pinky, my middle finger goes flying. Is there a trick to go... is there a trick, or do you just go really slow? Slow is definitely the way to go. So I've queued this up so I could share the screen and show some of these exercises. If you're not familiar with it, you might be a lower level, but I think it'd be useful to obviously show you guys this so you know what we're talking about. And let me zoom in a bit so you can see it better as well. There we go. So hopefully we can see that. So I believe the exercise that Rob was talking about was these ones down here. Not these kind of open string ones, but you can see we've got a range of them in level 3. These are great exercises. All of these have got something really nice to kind of play around with. This one at the start, we've got the open strings. That again, you can see I'm using or stretching my finger out, if I can get in the video to show you. So I'm using all of my fingers on those strings. We've got this one where you're going kind of diagonally down the strings. And then we've got these ones at the end, which is, I think, the ones Rob was mentioning, where there is no open string. So that's the exercise I'm going to talk about, exercise 13 predominantly. So when we're doing that, let me come back so you can see me a bit more clearer. Yes, we want to be stretching. And this is something that comes in level 3. You've seen a discussion a little while ago in the group, or the club, level 3 club, because this is very challenging. This is tricky. And it'll probably take months to get this down. When I was trying to get control of my pinky finger, for instance, it took so long to get control of that pinky finger, and that was just a case of going very slowly and then trying to maintain control of that pinky. So if you go fast, you default to what you do, and that is normally not what you want to do. We're trying to break out of it. So pinky flies out of the way. So it's got to be slow and controlled. Very slow. Very slow. Tediously slow. So you can get control of that little finger. Now, getting control of the other fingers, you find like a third finger or pinky fingers going. That's because certain fingers are kind of like joined. So as you move one finger, the other finger goes with it. There's some great exercises to work on that. One of them is taking this idea of using a finger per fret, but doing this. So you do first the second finger, and you walk down. Then you take second and third finger, and you walk down. Then you take third and fourth finger, you walk down. Then you can just basically mix it up. You can take first and third finger. And take second and third finger, and then you're basically moving through different combinations of fingers. That works as separating the different fingers and trying to break out of this idea where like third finger will be controlled with fourth finger. So as soon as you lift up your fourth finger, your third goes with it, or vice versa. That'll really help get that finger separation. Any of these little exercises, this, we're breaking fingers into different pairs and working on them separately, it's going to really, really help that. These sort of exercises will as well. That's going to help obviously build up our strength and our dexterity. Simple exercise like this we talked about before will help with flexibility. So finger stretching the fingers back, do them separately, separate fingers back. And I've got a whole routine of that in the quick tip section. So if you go and check that out, there's a quick tip that runs through a warm-up basically, but a stretching exercise. And that'll really help get the stretching going. But yeah, it's trying to separate these fingers. And this is a great, say, exercise to doing that. And you'll find you'll get to a certain combination, might be third and fourth finger, you think, oh, that's really hard. That's really tricky to move those fingers independently. But keep working on it and it will come. These exercises take ages. As I said earlier, it's tediously slow trying to get these fingers under control, especially that pinky finger. It is really tough. So that's what I'd say, do that. Use that exercise. Instead of a challenge of doing it for like a month, you know, every time you pick up a guitar, just for a few minutes, doesn't have to be long. Try to target these different finger combinations. I think Rob said it was that middle finger. So yeah, trying to capitalize on that. Get that middle finger going and make that part of that routine. Focus on that one, but moving it in with the other fingers. And yeah, that should help it. Guys, that is it for the pre-submitted questions. I think we've had some obviously dropped in there as well. I'm just checking my notes to make sure I've gone through it. I've got some things I wanted to talk about. So if we are struggling, I've got some notes or things that come up this week that I thought would be good to just discuss. But there is some stuff in here. So let's have a look. I think Craig put one in here. That's good, Craig. Because Craig's saying the annual membership is great, but the discount is much more than I expected. I like to over-deliver. So don't worry about that, Craig. What I wanted to do, because I've always been this sort of difficult situation, where obviously Beginner Guitar Academy is one of the most expensive platforms at $39. Obviously, the support I give, it's kind of worth it, but not everyone takes me up on that. So I wanted to try and get around that $29, and I thought the annual subscription is a way of doing that. I don't want to bring the monthly down, but if you're basically committing to a year, then yeah, you get obviously rewarded by a cheaper rate. So yeah, I over-deliver. So don't worry about that, Craig. But the idea, obviously, revenue will drop, but the more people come in, the revenue goes up. So it just becomes a number game. The marketing, you'll notice very soon, the marketing's going to ramp up a lot of Beginner Guitar Academy. The numbers will increase substantially. So yeah, don't worry about that. Cool. Speaking of pinky finger, I hear different things about whether to use your pinky finger or brace your pinky when picking, yes, versus your palm on the strings. What are your thoughts? So my thoughts are, when you're a beginner, pinky should be braced on the body of the guitar. Reason why is we want to train our pick to be close to the strings. The problem, if you don't have the anchor point, you have this floating hand, you have really wide picking strokes. So for beginner, you know, stage one beginner, we always teach bracing for that very reason. It keeps you close. But then as you progress, you probably find, yep, your palm's going to go on the strings because you're going to add in muting and control. As soon as we start bringing in effects, stuff like gain, overdrive, you know, those kind of effects, there's a lot of string noise. So you need to have muting. That's when your palm's going to add most of that, or the side of your hand, on those strings. So it's kind of one of those things, yep, you brace at the beginning because it develops that good technique and good positioning of the pick. Later on, that'll probably start to change. You'll start trying to use that hand just naturally because we'll be using palm muting techniques and just other techniques. So you need that palm there just to stop the strings from ringing out. So yeah, normally people will transition to that. There's an argument, and you'll see it all the time online, should you brace, should you not? Some people are in favor of it. Some people say you can't move. It kind of stops you. That's kind of the point, that it stops you from moving, because we want that pick to be close to string. If we can move, there's going to be too much movement. So we want to be kind of stopped and kept in position. So that's the idea behind it. Obviously, if we're doing strumming, we don't want that. Picking is great. Strumming, we need that movement. So it doesn't work for that. But it'll work for picking, it'll work for arpeggios, it'll work for scales. It'll work for that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the idea behind that. Great to start with. Don't worry if you start to lose it a little bit further down the line, because you just probably won't need it. You'll find your accuracy will be there, your coordination will be there to a good level. You just don't need that kind of anchor anymore. So yeah, that will come. Your spatial rotation will be there, so you know where the strings are, that you think about it or look, then you won't need it. So don't worry if that starts to disappear. That is fine. Okay, from Mark. I just joined, so no question at the moment. Right for the website. One simple question. Are the podcasts on the separate BGA podcast site as opposed to through the Academy page? So I'm just trying to really quickly read your question, Mark, about if I did now, would it charge extra currently? 1062. I don't really know what that means, Mark. How it works. Oh, for the rest of the trial. Yeah, it'll kick in after your trial, the annual membership. So when you sign up for the annual, it prorates whatever you're on. So if you sign up and you're on monthly, just for the guys that are monthly, it will start when your next monthly is going to be charged. So you'll start for the annual, but it won't kick in until that month is finished, and then it kicks in. I found out something really annoying about PayPal as well. How PayPal works is it doesn't kick in until the month you originally set up the payment. So if you join the annual, it will give you like a few extra days free. But it's just the way PayPal works, which is very annoying. And if you unpause your account, if you pause and come back and unpause, you have to wait until it hits that original payment date you signed up on. So if you signed up for Beginner Guitar Career on the 15th of May, you then pause it and you come back on like the 20th of July, it won't take the payment until the 15th rolls around in August. It's this annoying thing about PayPal. If you come in through Stripe using credit card, it does it straight away. You have access straight away. The PayPal, it's just the annoying way PayPal does it. So yeah. Also another question. Oh, the podcast on the website. Yeah, so we have the stat. Someone asked me this earlier, actually. Email me about this. It was Ed. So we have the separate podcast website now. Well, it has for a while now. BGApodcast.com. That's just a front-facing website for anyone. Just obviously to market the podcast and obviously have it all in one place. For Beginner Guitar Academy members, I do post that in the community. So every week I put the podcast in there. Just a place for discussion. If anything pops up and you guys have any questions, you know, it's a great place to do that. It's a great place to continue conversations if something comes up in podcasts and that sort of thing. And that is found in the community all the way down here from the blog. So from the blogs, everything gets posted there. If it's blog posts, if it's like podcasts, that sort of thing. I'm now putting the podcast into a blog and a video. So if you go over to, I'll show you in a minute, the podcast website, you'll see that all there. But I put the video on here too. So if we go to the newest one, Learn to Play 5 Metal Riffs, you'll see it there, the podcast episode, which is just the workshop, Learn to Play 5 Metal Riffs, that we have in the Academy anyway. So for Mark, who's new, if you want to find that workshop, you go over to the workshop section and you'll see it here. It's a bit of a scroll down, but the benefit of going here to find it is here you'll find the sheet music. So you can see the tab, the workshop handout. that has all the riffs written out on there. And you have the backing tracks as well, so you can play along obviously to the music. So that's a benefit. You guys will always get, you know, extra bits and pieces in the podcast. I used to be on the Podcast Plus kind of membership, which again, I was kind of bringing into the Academy anyway. I've got rid of that now, mainly because I want to use the video to promote the podcast. And part of the benefit of doing a Podcast Plus membership, where people paid for like $5 a month for the extra level of the podcast, was they had the video, which then meant I couldn't actually use it to promote the podcast. So I kind of did myself in a little bit there. And I thought, well, actually, it's more valuable to obviously use it for marketing rather than $5 a month. So yeah, that's why I kind of got rid of that. Okay, so that's where you can find that. It's over in the community, and you'll find all the video and stuff there as well. If you do go to the BGA podcast website, the only thing you'll get different here is, for instance, going here, if I scroll down, there's blog posts. So if you'd rather read, you'll find that here, basically. If you want to see it all written out, then you can get that there. Okay. So I hope that answers that. What about muting strings on chords, like muting low E when doing a C chord? How to practice that? And do you recommend muting with the thumb over the top or index finger? Depends what you're doing and why. So if I'm doing a C chord, my thumb's naturally high. And Rob, obviously, I know there's a few levels in now. So you'll probably find we don't need the thumb around the back so much. You know, if we're just starting out. Let me again get back on the old video. There we go. Yeah, as we're just starting out, you know, if we're beginner, thumb needs to go on the back to add support and give yourself strength. As you start to progress, you obviously don't need that so much. The thumb can creep up and then be used to mute. So if I'm doing a C chord, I'm muting my thumb at the top. Or you could, yes, use third finger. So you can use my ring finger just to touch that string. You might find it makes a bit of noise like that though. The thumb over the top doesn't make as much noise. So yeah, thumb over the top. D chord as well, I'll do that for. But say if I'm doing like a power chord, now my tip of my first finger is muting the E string. So that's what I mean, it depends what sort of chord you're doing. If it's an open chord, most likely you're probably going to use your thumb. But if you use like a power chord, most likely going to use the top of your finger. And if I'm doing a power chord, I'm playing all six strings here, but you can only hear three of them because my first finger is muting everything out. The tip of my first finger is muting string six, and the bottom part of my finger is muting strings two and one. And there we go. So yeah, muting comes a massive part of it. As I said a minute ago, as soon as you start bringing in effects, strings will ring out a lot more, especially if you've got, you know, gain on it, it will ring out a lot more. You'll hear that anyway, and I see all the time people, they play their scales for like the assessments, and they'll be playing through it, and they'll get to the end, and there's all that string noise, just because they're not muting the strings. And how I do that with a scale is just using this hand. My thumb, as it comes down, just rests on the previous string and mutes it. So that's an easy way of using the picking hands to mute strings. But in a chordal sense, you'd probably use, obviously, this hand. Your fretting hand. So hopefully that makes sense, Rob. Guys, we're pretty much out of questions. So if there's any more, throw them in there. But I think I have gone through what everyone asked. And I have actually touched on some of the things I was going to talk about. Someone did say about C chord and how to play it, how to mute it. But also short fingers was their particular question. C is always those troublesome beginner chords. As soon as you play C, it's just the hardest shape. So you've got to stretch the length of the neck. G is a different one, so you've got to stretch the width. So it just takes time to get used to it. But short fingers, long fingers, I have kids that do C chords, 9 and 10 year olds. So it definitely can be done with short fingers. It's not necessarily a case of short fingers. It's a question of technique and positioning. So that thumb around the back, as I said about earlier, we're going to need because it drops down, it pushes those fingers up, brings the wrist around the front, allows you to get those nice straight fingers, so not touching the adjacent strings, which is normally what goes wrong with the C. You touch your adjacent strings because fingers like to go front. Arch them up, that obviously won't happen. So that's kind of the main thing with C. The great thing about C as well, if I have students that are really struggling with that and they're kind of pulling their hair out, C is a great chord because you can actually play it just with three strings and one finger. That is a C chord. You can then bring the second finger on the D string, that is also a C chord. And then the third finger is the, you know, the full C chord we probably already know. So you can actually build up in stages. One, two, three. There's a few chords you can do that with. And if I have students, excuse me, that are really struggling, that's what I do. I really break it down. Single finger. Because when you're using a single finger, then you can really focus and hone in the technique. If you're using multiple fingers, it's a bit hard to see what's going on. So we just drop down to one finger. Okay, where's the tip of my finger? Where do I need to position it? Where's my thumb going to be? A lot easier to see that with one finger than if you, say, using multiple fingers. So that's just a really good tip just across the board. If you find your technique's difficult, simplify it. Go down to one finger. I was doing this the other day with someone with a scale. They're trying to do their scale. We break down to one string and just worked on a few notes. She was finding it really difficult with down not picking, but she was doing every string. So as you brought it down, she had less to think about, and it made it so much quicker to get used to it. Because it's just too much to think about. So yeah, don't be afraid to simplify. Because no one ever does. Everyone tries to play it as is, which makes it so much more difficult. Cool, Rob's just thrown another question. Sorry, guys. Should have brought down some water. What common threads do you see with your best students? Time spent practicing, musical background, depth and breadth of learning things from BJ, getting uncomfortable. I've asked, so you probably saw last month, Malte finished level 5 on beginner guitar committee. So Allegra finished level 5 this week. I've asked them both to come in for an interview, so for like the podcast, and try and basically mine their brain, see how they did it. So Allegra got through it very quickly. I don't think she really... I think she played a little bit, but not much. Malte had played a lot before. So he did it very fast, but he had a lot of previous experience. So best students, look at the survey. The students are practicing most days. Because we know it is just practice. Sometimes we like to get frustrated and think, this can't be done. I can't do it. It is practice. It's obviously the right sort of practice. And you've heard me say that a million times before. You know, the practice, or just practice, it will come. Doesn't work if you've got bad technique. Because you can practice all day long, but if you've got bad technique, you're just reinforcing bad technique. So we've got to be practicing the correct thing. We've got to be practicing with an idea of where we're heading. Obviously, you guys at Beginner Guitar Academy, we have the G4 guitar method, that 5-level system. So you know you're practicing the right thing because it's literally mapped out. You know where you're going. That's a lot of the problems most people find themselves in that don't have a structured syllabus. They end up going around in circles. They find a different YouTube video. Oh, I learned that today. And it's kind of like a buffet of different things. So they just find themselves bouncing around from one to the other. So I'd say the best students, the students that make the most progress, are literally just the ones that are very structured in their practice and very consistent and very deliberate. And very, like I say, it's just consistency. So setting yourself up to practice good number of times during the week, making sure you are being structured in what you do. You don't pick up a guitar for half an hour and just noodle away. We want some of that because obviously we need to have some fun with it, and noodling's fun. And exploring is how you're going to find new things, especially with improvisation. If you're playing around exploring, I think, oh, that's a cool little lick. That's how you're going to find different phrases, exploring it. So part of that we need to do. But we don't want to be doing that all the time, because then you won't find there's any progress. Because quite often you just be playing what you already know. We would obviously push ourselves. And that's what I said to a student this week, and you probably hear me say it before, because he was getting really frustrated because he couldn't do something. And I was trying to change his mindset to the fact that that's good if you're frustrated, because it means you're doing something new. The problem is if you're not getting frustrated, you're just doing what you can already do, so you're not actually getting anywhere, you're not moving forward, or you're not moving forward very quickly, I should say. Obviously, if you're practicing something that you already know, you'll get marginally better, of course you will. But you need to push yourself that little bit harder and, you know, learn new things. So that's what I really see from that. It's going to be practicing and practicing the right thing. And having that kind of mindset, and always trying to keep that beginner mindset. Wherever you get something, you know, trying to learn something new, bear in mind it's going to take that time. You know, it's going to take a while to get used to it. Remember when you first started guitar and how long it took you to just get those first few chords, get those first few songs. It doesn't really change as you progress up the different levels. There's going to be other roadblocks. You know, bar chords is a big one in, you know, level 3, level 4, that stops people in their tracks and takes a little while to go over. We're going to have these kind of hurdles as we obviously move through. It's just not be demotivated by it. See it as a challenge that will be overcome. And again, talk to me about it. I think I said it in the member only podcast, did I? That I had a student pause his membership this week because he's having troubles with the level assessment in level one. But he didn't talk to him about it. He didn't reach out and say, I'm having problems with my level one. He just stopped him and, oh, I need to take a break. That sometimes can help, you know, take a few days away. It kind of clears your mind a little bit and you pick up guitar and you can kind of get rid of all that stuff, that kind of chaos in your head. It kind of gets rid of that sometimes. But worst case scenario is you take the break, extended period of maybe a month or so, you pick up the guitar and you've lost what you had before and you feel even more rusty. And so, oh, I've lost that now, so I'm just not going to bother. That's the problem with taking an extended break. Short breaks are okay, but if you take it for too long, then again, you just lose all your progress and you feel like going back to stage one. So yeah, that's the only thing I kind of said to him. I said, well, you know, I'll help you. What are we finding the problem with? And I think it was because he was trying to do it all in one sitting rather than recording the separate parts, because it is difficult. It's hard recording yourself. it's tricky. So as that red light goes on, your fingers feel like jelly and you forget the thing you've been practicing so hard on. It's just part of it. But do it little sections. Practice recording yourself. It's the best way I know of me checking what you guys are doing. Make sure you're not doing any bad habits. It's just the best way. Again, teacher feedback. Unfortunately, I did float the idea of doing it live. That didn't go down well. That was another option of jumping on a Zoom with me and literally doing like a live kind of assessment, which would be kind of more pressure, but it does kind of get it down and out of the way, which was kind of my thing. It's kind of the old way I used to do my exams. Now you can just send in a video to the examiner. Back in my day, before we had video, before obviously, you know, COVID and all the exam boards went online and that sort of stuff, I had to do it in front of an examiner. And it was scary, but it got out of the way. I knew on that day I had the exam. Whatever happened on that day, it was finished. I didn't have to worry about it anymore. The problem with obviously recording videos is you just keep trying to get it perfect and you just end up doing it for ages. And what probably would pass the assessment, you don't realize, you just keep going on and on because you want it to be perfect. Well, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be obviously good enough to pass a level. So I'm not looking for perfection. I'm just looking at it to be a good level. So when we move on to level two, if you're going from level one, you're not going to be developing bad habits because you haven't quite got the content for level one, because it does all build on its one another. And yeah, you're not going to get stressed out because we haven't got that thing in level one and now it's bled into level two and it's still a problem and it becomes a bigger problem there. So that's kind of the main reason for doing that. Right. Guys, that is all the questions I've got. So unless there's anything else, I think we'll call it a night. It's a bit of a short one today, which is all good. So first Q&A we've done for a little while. I've got not much else to say. Watch out for the end of the month because we've got, it's next week, isn't it, guys? Gosh, I'll be releasing the Learn to Play 5 Iron Maiden riffs. So if you're a fan of Iron Maiden, there'll be some cool riffs coming your way. I think I'll put that down for this Thursday. I was going to release it. So yeah, watch out for that. These cool riffs coming your way. I'm going to pretty much finish Metal March, aren't we? Wow, March has flown by. And then off we go into April. Gosh, years flying by. So thanks to you guys for joining me live. Any questions, obviously, do you think of after this, drop them in the community, post them in there, or just, you know, hit the support bubble and let me know. But apart from that, guys, have a good evening or afternoon or wherever you are in the world. And I'll chat to you in the community. Cheers, guys. Take care, and I'll see you soon.